You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is Bitcoin headed below $20,000 right now? Celsius just froze withdrawals, sending the market into a spiral. Where is it headed, and is the crypto dream over?
No.
Question mark. What's up, Zinger Nation? Welcome back to Moon or Bust, your home for all things crypto at Benzinga. It's feeling like a bust of a day, but Ryan, I'm still bullish. We're headed to the moon. We'll get into that in a little bit, but special announcement before we give our live reactions to the trading today. Got to give a special shout out to our friends at FTX, who have been incredibly kind and hooked us up with Moon or Bust's first ever sponsorship. Hell yeah. So if you want to buy the dip, buy the bear market, or sell it, whatever you want to do, not financial advice, you could do it on FTX.us if you are local. All right, Ryan, Bitcoin is at 23,000, ETH is at 1,200, Celsius might be bankrupt. What is Max Payne, and is this it?
Well, mutants are not at 40 ETH anymore. ETH is not at $3,000 anymore. And $1 isn't even at $1 anymore.
Fuck.
I hope this is Max Payne, but I'm afraid it might not be.
What does Max Payne mean?
Max Payne, when the market's bottom, I'm thinking the bottom happens within the next 6 months, but I don't think it's happening this week. We see a crash, and this might be a local bottom, but I don't think that the bottom is in this week. We have a long ways to go, and we've seen ETH go down 94% in the last bear market. So even though we're down 80%, I mean, prices could get cut in half from here. So I'm ready to deploy capital over the next few months, but I'm certainly not buying the dip with all of my jewels, per se, right now. I'm holding cash, and I'm waiting to buy in for the dip to continue. With that said, should we predict when this dip will happen? Maybe take a look at the market, see where Bitcoin's at, look at Ethereum, because both are crashing really hard. I saw Ethereum went down below $1,200 for the first time in a very, very long time. Just last night, I considered buying some, but like I said just a minute ago, I am waiting.
All right, Ryan, I'm going to pull up the charts and I'll have you break them down for me. Thanks for teaching us about Max Payne. All the fear in the market, I think this could be something close to it, but you know, I don't want to pretend like I know the future. What I do know is how to pull up the Bitcoin chart. Here we have hourly candles. Ryan, you probably can't see them because the private chat is up on the production screen, but I can maybe slide my laptop towards you.
Okay, well, judging by Logan's laptop, it looks like we have flattened out over the past couple hours, but does that really mean much? Probably not. I like to look at the daily candles, but man, we have gone down hard from about $28,000 yesterday down to $23,000. I think this is mostly based off of the Celsius news. Celsius has $20 billion of assets under management, which they froze. So we're going to get into that after the interview. We have an interview coming up in just a minute here with a co-founder of Decentraland, Adam Dakota. He's an advisor on a new project bringing Elvis NFTs into the metaverse, along with Wayne Lloyd. So this could be a really cool interview. They're getting integrated in a lot of metaverses. This is pretty interesting. The Sandbox, Decentraland, and a few others. Logan, should we just hop right into the interview? I know we're doing an interview early on today. Instead of at 2:30, we were actually supposed to have the CEO. This is no joke, guys. We were supposed to have the CEO of Celsius come on at 2:30 today. Apparently, he's a little bit too busy. Something might have happened. I'm not really sure, but we got a cancellation. So stay tuned for that. We'll definitely follow up with Alex Mashinsky, CEO of Celsius, as soon as he has time to take an interview.
Yeah, it would have been incredible to interview him on a day like today. But that being said, we have another interview that's just as good. Ryan, I'm getting some news. Not actually the co-founder of Decentraland. Adam is the head of partnerships for Decentraland as a consultant and founder of the blockchain studio Run It Wild. Adam is backstage. I'm just going to bring him on to tell us more about himself, what he does, and the projects he's working on today. Adam actually is going to be here soon, Wayne.
Yeah, Adam should be jumping on any minute.
All right, awesome. We will wait for him. Oh, there he is. Boom. All right, Adam, thank you so much for joining us today. Wayne, thank you for joining us as well. This is Moon or Bust here at Benzinga, all things crypto and DeFi, sometimes some NFT stuff as well. We like to cover a broad variety, everything we can talk about for our audience. They're interested in all sorts of these micro niches. So, you know, tell us about yourselves, how you entered the Web3 space and why you're still working in it.
Go, Wayne.
Sure. Yeah. So Wayne Lloyd here. I'm executive chairman of NFT Tech. So we're a publicly listed company on the NEO exchange under the ticker NFT. We've been working on technology, brand integration, and all sorts of stuff in NFTs in the metaverse, and just launched a couple months ago.
Awesome. And
we're not in sync, are we, at the moment? Yeah, but I'm Adam. Currently head of partnerships at Decentraland. I'm a consultant there that leads strategy for IP entering the space, alongside founding Run It Wild. It's a blockchain studio. Some of the projects that we've launched are the Australian Open, Artball series in the metaverse, alongside Elvis, which is launching shortly, and a number of other projects that are art creator focused as well. So, yeah. Glad to be here.
Very cool. I was a collector of that Australian Open art ball project. I thought it was one of the most unique projects I've ever seen. They took the places of the court. Unfortunately, I didn't get any winners on the ball that I picked up, but I'm excited to see where that goes in the future. I think there's potentially a huge historical significance for you know, tennis memorabilia. The fan base there is the core audience. Would love to hear a little bit more about some of the other projects you guys have done. But we'll get into that in just a second. So let's talk about the team you know, you guys have assembled. It's pretty stacked, and I'd love for you to break it down why you chose these roles, why you chose these people, and why you think it gives you a unique competitive advantage.
Well, on NFT Tech, we've got an incredible team. I think the there's really a unique skill set you need to bring to this industry, which has a lot to do with creativity and has a lot to do with technical aptitude. So we've been working with some incredible studios, including Adam's group, a lot of people just around the world that bring different technical attributes. You know, I think we have people that come from the music and entertainment industry on our board of directors. You really need a diverse set of skills, blockchain, technical, and the creative side to make these things work. So we've tried to put together a really diverse group of people that can come together and create from that perspective.
And you guys recently launched some Elvis NFTs. Can you tell us about that and also the partnerships you've secured for those Elvis NFTs? From what I've researched this morning, it's really impressive.
Thanks. I think the approach in most cases is you know, around, you know, a multifaceted virtual experience of sorts, alongside, you know, a number of other parts to sort of lead it, you know, evergreen IP like Elvis into the space. Run a wild, you know, like we work with intellectual property, we advise on strategy, and then we implement the creative and technology around it. I think, you know, partnering with Sandbox to Mona and Spatial to obviously experiences within Decentraland, all have different places and different experiences with different communities to engage with into the future. And the content that we have and what we're able to get access to, as well as showcase future ops with, will blend into different opportunities alongside it. But it's, you know, one of the parts of working with an IP like Elvis and the opportunities that sort of link in with Web3. One of the most interesting partnerships, I think, is with Curist, actually, who are a sustainable partner. And, you know, it won't be too long before we have an Elvis forest with 10,000 trees planted to not only make this carbon neutral, but have some out on the other side of it, to be able to make this project, you know, as eco-friendly as possible as well. So there's lots to be explored. And I think when looking at intellectual property and how it can enter the space, it's important not to have it fragmented, similar to that of the Australian Open, and working with strategy and deploying their creative and technology around it. It's not just about what they do today, it's how it's looked at in the future with a community and you know, a strategic plan that makes all sense. So for us, Elvis, you know, like this is the only the start. There's many of other things to come, but we're testing and trialing a lot of different parts of it. And yeah, most appealing to me is around the community wallet that will start to hopefully set a new precedent in terms of how DAOs are approached in terms of IPO holders and what that actually means to those that have governance over the project itself. So not too similar from Decentraland.
And can you tell us more about that community wallet?
Yeah, totally. So there's a component of primary and secondary sales that goes to it across the whole project. It's not just for the Genesis token itself, but it contributed over the next number of years. And anyone that holds these particular Genesis NFTs has power in terms of what that may be used for. So if that's an unreleased piece of footage to some earlier that's in private collections that can come back to public, there's lots of different things. So but that's down to the opportunity of the holders and the community and what they want to vote for. So intriguing, to say the least.
Something that I saw that's really original about your project is that you're focusing on a lot of different metaverses instead of just one. So I'm curious, why did you choose to stretch your focus across multiple different metaverses instead of just focusing, say, on Decentraland or the Sandbox in particular?
I think we're all evolving and learning every day as a community and builders, right? So whilst everything evolves and develops, we will try and build in each of them with different communities that are currently active and new ones that will obviously come in the future. You know, so each metaverse has, well, each virtual environment has their own USPs to them. And there is some crossover naturally within the Venn diagram, but I think it's exciting to be able to explore gamification in Sandbox versus that of what it may look like in Mona and Spatial in terms of, gated experiences and the likes. So meaning that if you hold a particular token, what access that gives you versus someone that doesn't have it. So, look, at this point, it's exploring and uncovering different parts of it, but it's with great partners like what we have that we can do that with IP like Elvis.
And I read a lot about the Elvis metaverse. What's this experience going to look like in practice?
You know, there's a romantic view to it. And, you know, for us, it's about interoperability. So that one token that can kind of rule them all. It's all possible within Decentraland. We'll start to explore what that means in Sandbox. And Spatial and Mona have the same thing too. So just imagine you're able to view content that's exclusive to holders. You could stream that within Mona. You could go to events and experiences in Decentraland. There's a Guinness World Record that we're planning to to break for the most amount of Elvises in the one space at the one time. And, you know, in spatial, it may be that you can create your own room that can showcase your NFTs that it's inspired by Elvis IP and officially licensed. So lots of different ways to explore it.
For sure. And what do you think your target market is here? Because do you think Elvis fans are too old to be getting into NFTs? I know, you know, people joke about being a boomer if you're over 25. I'm not even sure if Elvis was alive 25 years ago. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. I know Elvis is a huge, like you said, evergreen name. So if you could touch on that, that'd be awesome.
No, totally. For me too, we've been hosting webinars to Elvis fan clubs around the world. And, you know, it's quite humbling to be able to have the opportunity to educate those about crypto, blockchain, security of wallets, and why this will live on the blockchain. For us, the reality is that it actually hits on a number of different demographics, and it's a surprise to me too, but does have it does play a big part in my heart. I'm a classically trained musician. My dad obviously listened to a whole heap of different music, and you know, having the opportunity to represent something like this, although not at the forefront of my albums that I had originally, it was always there in some capacity. And I think that's the case for a lot of people. We're actually making the Elvis on chain NFT fully on chain. So there's no IPFS. And another romantic part for us is that, you know, way past our lifetime, as long as Ethereum lives, this will live. And it should showcase the governance, community, and all the other value propositions that we're going to be hosting to that of the Genesis holders for a very, very long time. So, you know, like way past our lifetimes. So it's more than just, I think, what it may represent today and to who. I think it's the fact that it can continue the evergreen legacy way into the future, well beyond us.
And what about crypto natives? Do you care much about the crypto natives for this NFT collection in particular?
Of course, you take your learnings from every experience that you've put, you know, like, and I think crypto natives, you know, can add a lot of value in some respect if they're a believer in the project and don't see it as a financially driven one in many cases. For me, I'm not a day trader and I do value experience, but I also think that it's interesting to think of reasons why to buy into NFTs other than that. But I do know what happens, obviously. And for us, you know, crypto natives are core to understanding and helping educate those that are entering the space today, which, you know, for us with Elvis fans, you know, there's a lot of education, there's a lot of learning, and hopefully they can take them under their wing and be able to make it as safe and secure as we're hoping it to be for them too. So they're super important to the project, but we're also just as excited about onboarding new people too.
Awesome, Adam. What would you say is your main goal, main desired outcome of this project? You know, a lot of people might say, "Hey, you're too early," and if Elvis fans don't care or know about NFTs, so why are you releasing this on a market that might not know about it or be able to purchase it? Obviously, that might not be your goal. I'm curious, what is?
I think, you know, there's a new movie coming out in a few weeks' time with Baz Luhrmann, and it will be huge. And for us, it's about setting a new precedent and a benchmark, just like what we did with the Australian Open in terms of the creative and technology, and learning and building with community. It may not be today that the core superfan may buy in, and it may be slightly early, but there is a great opportunity. There's only 1,935 of these. So, you know, it's super scarce and has been strategically placed that way. But there's plenty of options for people to buy in at a later point in two. And, you know, the scalability of the project itself for the community wallet and the DAO and everything else that comes along with it is there for many years into the future. So, you know, like for us, we're hoping we get some great people in early that really embrace the project and help guide it and educate those that are entering for the first time, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. So just to summarize, this is a long-term, you know, sort of passion project, a place for Elvis fans and community members to come collaborate and continue to carry on the legacy, you know, build out more events and utility in their own way. This is not just a, you know, one-time release, then it's over. You guys have a pretty long vision for this, it seems.
Yeah, very long. I'm looking forward to actually seeing seeing it come to fruition, to be honest. But as you sort of mentioned before as well, you know, the markets are what they are. And I think for us, we stand on great product. And, you know, for this year, yeah, we're just excited to get it out.
And Adam, you mentioned that the Genesis NFTs from the Elvis collection are incredibly scarce, but you also plan on expanding into wearables. Will those be less scarce? What's your plan here? And also, how do you feel about NFT wearables in general?
I think, you know, being able to go into a virtual environment and create your own identity goes hand in hand. So the opportunity with wearables and avatars and other parts are all being explored as part of these partnerships moving forward. We've already developed everything for the Decentraland part. And, you know, we're hoping there's a, you know, we're hoping to be able to link wearable these. So meaning that a token ID represents, not to get too technical, but a token ID that you may have that's part of the Genesis token will have wearables that are associated with it. So they don't actually become separate entities. They're one part of, if you were to buy the Genesis token off me, it would connect the same amount of wearables within the platform. So I think, you know, individuality and the opportunity to be able to express yourself in the best way possible. It's awesome to be able to bring officially licensed wearables to the metaverse and virtual worlds. And, you know, we are collectors at heart. So, you know, for us, it's important that there's the value proposition of scarcity and, you know, being officially licensed is there and is protected. So, yeah.
So the wearables are not separate NFTs. Will there ever be a way to sell these wearables separately and keep that Genesis Elvis NFT for future airdrops or future utility?
Yeah, there will be wearables that are linked. There is going to be wearables that will be separate and independent as well that are gifted to those that hold the Genesis token, so you can do what you like with it. It's very much a play in terms of the value proposition across the board. And we've been exploring a lot of this within the Discord at the moment with a number of webinars. But, you know, the assumption probably could be, without it being, you know, fully closed off as a deal, that if we were to release a PFP collection, for instance, of Elvis fully on-chain to complement the Genesis token, those that hold the Genesis token will be able to free claim the PFP whilst there will be some excess that will be available for the public to allow them to buy into the community. So just like that, I'd say that there's also reason for lots of different wearables to have that opportunity too.
Awesome. We've done a little bit of nitty gritty for a few minutes here. I'd love to just take a second, step back, and maybe anyone who just tuned in, what are we talking about? What is the project? What is the utility behind this NFT?
Sorry, can you repeat that? I was distracted reading comments.
Oh, no worries. So just for anyone who might have recently tuned in and missed the beginning of the interview, I wanted to step back since we've been a little bit technical. Adam or Wayne, whoever would like to, just maybe a high-level overview once more.
Yeah, so the Elvis on Chain project is a project bringing Elvis to Web3. And you know, there's the first opportunity to buy into the Genesis token that has a whole heap of different value props to it across partners like Decentraland Sandbox, Spatial, Mona, and a number of others. I think, you know, for us, this project has many years ahead of it. And, you know, its fundamental part of all this is to create the Elvis DAO that allows for the IP to be treated by the community with decisions that are made by them to then have a treasury and a wallet that they control to buy and sell offerings that are approved by the DAO itself. So there's a lot to it. You can go check out the website. There's a great light paper as well. I'm probably so deep in it that sometimes it can come out not as streamlined as I'd like, but you know, there's everything and more that we've jam-packed into this project.
Awesome. When does it release? How much does it cost? And what are some of the most tangible utilities?
Yeah, so we're looking at the end of June at this point, and you know, the expected price, we've always budgeted between 1,000 to 2,000 USD. So wherever that lands for Ethereum at that point in time, will be probably where we explore it. And, you know, like we're big into interoperability, and for us, the utility and benefits that everyone wants to explore, it's gated experiences that are exclusive to holders, that they may be able to see and watch and listen to things that no one else without the token can see in here. So, yeah, that's the core utility. And then there's lots of benefits as well, where we're adding a whole heap of value from all our partners that will inevitably benefit those that hold the Genesis token.
Hey guys, I think like zooming out a little bit, the real exciting part of this project is that this is something where a property that wasn't explicitly digital first, meaning Elvis, you know, is able to transition into this digital world. Like NFTs are the enabling factor here. And I think that this is a great template for how to get those non-digital first communities involved and really expand the pie for everyone in the crypto space and kind of in the more mainstream audiences. So this is what's really exciting about it from my perspective, is just it's really taking it from a core crypto audience to a much more massive mainstream audience, and is providing a real template to do that.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I appreciate that. Zoom out, Wayne. What do you think is the biggest hindrance to this mass adoption, to bringing these non-digital communities on chain?
I think that, you know, the digital economy is really what most people care about now in their daily lives. You know, obviously the physical economy is very important, but you know, it's the piece that people touch the most from a frequency perspective. So I think the thing that needs to happen is for people to experience the value creation, experience the utility, and experience everything that goes along with these NFTs. Once they've kind of had that first experience, you know, there'll be a massive continuation, and the network effects just continue as they tell their friends and things gather momentum from that perspective.
And I heard something about an Elvis block party. What's this Elvis block party, and how do we get tickets?
So that's the Guinness World Record that we're hosting in Decentraland. So, you know, the most amount of Elvises in the one space at the one time. And you can enter by either being part of the Genesis token. There's other partners like MetaKey that sort of forge the bridge the gap between virtual environments and a community like that, receiving different officially licensed wearables as well. There'll be more information about that in the coming weeks, but we're wanting to make sure it's accessible to everyone. So hopefully you'll be able to get an officially licensed wearable to wear there.
And if you can share anything about that, what's going on? How will I be entertained? Will there be metaverse hot dogs for me to eat when I'm hungry? Will there be a specific Elvis who's the official Elvis, maybe throwing a concert in the metaverse? Is there anything else you can share about the event thus far?
Yeah, for sure. There's music that's officially licensed with a video that ABG and the estate own that will be there as well. There's, you know, it's hosted in Vegas City with at their Flamingo venue. So it doesn't leave much to the imagination, but there's lots of flamingos. And you'll be around peers and like-minded audiences that are experiencing a record-breaking event for the first time. And I think that's exciting as well. But there's a lot to be added and lots of information to come. But for now, consider it a big party on a virtual rooftop.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
So if we zoom out, take a look at the markets as a whole, they're not doing so hot. Not sure if you guys have checked the internet in the last year, but not great. What does this tell you about your personal portfolio, if you'd like to dive into that, or just about the company, the brand continuing to build? We see a lot of layoffs, but we also see a lot of people saying, you know, bear market is the time to build. What's your take on it?
I'm not a day trader. Sorry, I was about to say, like, go for it, Wayne. But,
Well, I think most, you know, this is a great example. This project is a great example of planning for decades, not days. You know, Elvis is one of the most important cultural pieces of the last, you know, 150 years. Brands, have historically been built on storytelling, myth, and memes. And I think, you know, that kind of cultural legacy, the enduring nature of that brand, you know, and the willingness of the team to jump in and kind of tackle that and give it the a new treatment in the metaverse with NFTs is real testament to the fact that these are long-term projects for time is being invested into brands that have already shown that they have staying power, and they will have staying power into the future. So I think, you know, to Adam's point about not being a day trader, that's the most important part. The most important part is to work on projects that will have long-term longevity in the space.
Regardless, so do you guys have exclusive access to the Elvis IP in the metaverse? Are these the only Elvis NFTs that will ever be made? And how'd you get that, if so?
Yeah, so the relationship with the estate is very much that we're working alongside them moving forward. So these are officially licensed Elvis wearables, and the Elvis strategy, it will be handled by Run It Wild moving forward, and has been, I think we sort of signed off on this in October last year, after many discussions prior to those months too. So in short, the project is in the hands of us. We'll be delivering it across Ethereum and Slayer 2 protocols.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And Adam, I tossed you a follow on Twitter earlier today. I could not help but notice your Clone X Grail NFT that you have as your profile picture. So I'm curious what your investment thesis is on Clone X, especially given the market conditions we're seeing today.
Yeah, I think people, from my personal perspective, I look at different entities and what they do in the space and what Artifact have been able to do and managed to do over the last 2 years that I've seen, it's super strong. They have a great community. They're focused on community and they're very talented creatives. Obviously with what's happened with Nike in the acquisition, I think it's a super strong play of not only Nike, but Artifact to bolster what they can offer. I trust in what they do and they deliver. I was really fortunate to be able to mint Clone X and also have a Murakami drip. And I don't have plans on selling that. So
that's awesome that you minted it.
Yeah, it was crazy, right? I'm a big fan of Murakami and a big fan of Artifact. Very fortunate. I'm glad that you went and checked it out. What's your prized possession, per se, in the NFT world? What would you say?
I got my mutant number 21468.
Strong.
Thank you.
Good picks, guys. Wayne, do you have a NFT profile picture?
I do not. We have we participated in a lot of the Art Blocks events, though. So we've got we've got a few in-person mints and quite a few of those. So, but no profile pic.
That seems pretty rare still. I'll take it. So I want to give you guys the floor one last time each before we wrap this up. First of all, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this with our audience. For those out there in our audience who are curious to learn more, follow along with yourselves and the project. Remember, guys, Mint is coming at the end of the month. That's the target right now. But Wayne, I guess I'll start with you. If you can't answer some of these questions, then just pass it over to Adam. But where can they go to follow along, keep up to date?
Yeah, Adam, go for it.
Head to elvis.onchainvault.io. And join in the Discord. Follow us on Twitter. Keep up to date with all the information. There's more webinars to come and, a lot more onboarding of new fans too. So for us, it's a matter of funneling it through different social platforms and seeing what works to get in contact. So, feel free to reach out.
Wayne, any closing thoughts for us?
Yeah, we're helping out as strategic advisors, so you can check out the NFT Tech stock. We're trading on Neo Exchange under the ticker NFT.
Awesome. I'm going to drop all those resources in the chat for Zinger Nation to go check them out. Make sure you guys do that. Really cool project. Adam, Wayne, thank you so much for your time today. And great luck with the Mint.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
All righty. With that out of the way, we have a lot to talk about. But maybe we could debrief on the interview a little bit. Talk about the NFT space and bridging the gap between Web 2 traditional IP and Web 3. You know, obviously, we're pretty focused on mass adoption and education down here in downtown Detroit. But Ryan, what's your take on a project like Elvis? Does Elvis IP help bring more people into the space?
Yeah, I definitely think it does help bring more people into the space, especially those big Elvis fans. They'll come in, get an NFT, and it'll likely be their first NFT. This is a lot harder to do than, you know, having a Web3-based project like Bored Apes or Azuki, where you have those crypto natives coming in and buying these NFTs. So I think it's harder to do and execute, but it's really important because it's bringing in new investors to the NFT space and teaching people about Web3 and blockchain technology. So great things what they're doing. And I wish them the best of luck for their mint coming up in just a couple weeks.
Awesome. Ryan, I'm going to flip it over to knocking over this water bottle. I'm going to flip it over to Twitter and maybe we can do some live reactions to the carnage.
The carnage?
That's been going on today.
Man, I've been feeling like a hound dog crying all the time at these markets.
Did you just Google top Elvis songs?
No, I sung that one in my fifth grade musical, so I think it might be the only Elvis song I remember.
Could you sing it again?
I mean, I could, but I think I should spare the audience.
Okay, guys, drop a one in the chat if you want Ryan to sing Elvis. Until you guys drop some ones, he can't do it. So, Ryan, here you see. Oh, you can't see it. Dang it. Yo, producer Rohan, if you're at the table, could you close the private chat? And maximize the window for us. Could you just maximize us so we can, Ryan can see the thing? Oh yeah, beautiful. They still got those things. Is there any way you could move that over a little bit?
I can see this. Well, I can't read it.
All right, that will do. Thank you. All right, nothing has changed. Come on, guys. You didn't notice this?
What is the slogan? I don't get it.
This is the inflation of Bitcoin. This is the halving.
Ah, nothing has changed.
Yeah. Pretty comforting, right?
That doesn't make me feel any better.
No?
No.
Darn. What about Michael Saylor saying, in Bitcoin we trust? Does that make you feel better?
Yeah, I'm not selling Bitcoin. Thanks to Michael Saylor now.
All right. CNBC, Bitcoin's the first asset class accessible to everybody. Hey, we tried to tell you 8 years ago. Bitcoin withdrawals have been resumed on Binance. That's a big one.
That's good to see. I was getting worried because they said CZ tweeted that it would be about an hour, and I checked back about 3 hours later. Still no update, so I'm glad to see that they did fix that today, especially with what's going on with Celsius and now potentially BlockFi as well. I think that's unconfirmed, though, so you didn't hear it from me.
Definitely unconfirmed, and we didn't hear anything that you guys didn't, so we'll keep you updated on that one. All right, Ryan. Generational buy opportunity. Bitcoin is nearing the 200-week moving average. Is this it?
I love the 200-week moving average. This is where I love to buy crypto at. This is where I bought crypto back in 2020. This is where I bought crypto back in 2019. When this hits, I'm probably buying again. I mean, it's a tried and true method. Look at the chart. It's way too easy. If it goes underneath, it goes underneath for 2 minutes and then it comes back up. I mean, look at that. We've never had a close below the 200-week moving average. So I don't see it happening. I think we're pretty close to the bottom. That being said, I don't think we're seeing all-time highs anytime soon. I think we have all the time in the world to be accumulating right now. Could be, I think, the soonest that anything happens with Bitcoin where we could even potentially see anything close to all-time highs is the ETH merge taking us out of this bear market. And that could happen in August or September, maybe in the fall. But I still think that's really, really optimistic. I mean, it could be into 2023 until we see some serious price action to the upside. But that's good for us, right?
Despite that, Ryan, I'm loving this energy you're bringing on this bloody Monday. We need to keep it hype. It's a bear market. That means bigger opportunities, okay? If you are greedy, get the heck out of here, but not before you hit the like button. But yeah, this is where generational wealth is built. 200-week moving average has been pretty darn good, and I am still going to be paying attention to it. I would be accumulating here right now, theoretically. All right, next tweet.
There's a couple good ones in my likes, Logan, if you want to go there.
Are they?
I might be exposing myself, but yeah, there should be.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
There should be at least a couple good ones.
Maybe we'll find them here. If not, chance Ryan gets exposed. One, but only if he makes it into an NFT on Audius.
not gonna happen.
Sounds like too much work, Lord Byron. Sorry about that. All right.
I mean, would I get streams for it? I could get some audio tokens, start accumulating. Probably be worth my time. Lord Byron, let me know how many audio tokens you'll give me for streaming that on Audius, and then I'll reconsider.
I want to save this one. Anthony Scaramucci, your funds have bought more Bitcoin. 91% of respondents intend to buy Bitcoin and crypto in the next 6 months, according to Bank of America survey.
That's a lot of people, but there are a lot of people that plan on buying and then get scared with the markets, especially with interest rates rising, especially with crypto falling over 50% in a few months. I mean, it's easy to say, especially at 60K, right? It's easy to say, oh, I'll buy it when it goes down to 20K. I wish I bought when it was at 20K. I could have made 300% in a few months, but then that time comes around and you're scared, right? So people will say that now. 91% of respondents said that now, but how many in practice will actually be buying the dip this year if crypto keeps falling? Probably not 91%.
Probably not. All right. Should we take a look at Ether news if there's any? That's a good meme. Yeah, dude. Squid Game Part 2 is just people who got into crypto last year. Hashtag Ethereum.
How about NFTs? They have good memes. You can try this for a minute if you want.
Let's just see if there's anything interesting. Or Bitcoin stuff. I like this guy, Crypto Gucci. He's
Logan,
shouted out Moon or Bust before.
I saw something on Twitter, and this reminded me of it. I have no idea why. Web 5.
Web 5. Tell me about Web 5.
Bro, what's your take on Web 5?
Dude, I can't even count that high, so I'm going to need you to do this one.
Okay, so Jack Dorsey came out a couple days ago talking about Web 5, maybe trying to trick the normies into thinking there's some more innovation to be had over Web 3, but really it seems like he's just stealing the ideas from Web 3 and using Bitcoin as an example. All this stuff is being built out on Ethereum already. It's already operational and has billions of dollars of total value locked on Ethereum, which they're now trying to do on Bitcoin, renaming it Web 5 instead of Web 3. But it sounds like really this is all just Web 3. I mean, Web 5 is just built on Bitcoin. Same concept, same technology, just less developed. I mean, that's my opinion. Logan, you found a slide deck. This should be cool. Let's go through it.
Alrighty. Let me see if I can get it somewhere in a medium view. I don't think that's going to happen, so I'm just going to make us small. Oop. All right. Web 5, the decentralized web platform, a new evolution of the web that enables decentralized apps and protocols. Let's go.
Is it an evolution of Web 3 or is it an evolution of Web 4? I'm already confused.
Dude, this is the second slide, man. Didn't say that
okay,
yet.
Okay, we have to get into
Chill,
Web 69
bro.
As well.
Chill
I saw Elon was tweeting about Web 69. I need to know what that is, too.
All right. In the current web model, people are users who do not own their data or identity. They are given accounts by companies and their data is held captive in app silos. The web we want has personal and social communications, financial interactions, and all of the apps we love. Apps built for Web 5 store their data with you instead of in the app silos. To create a new class of decentralized apps and protocols, e.g. TB DEX, that put individuals at the center, we must empower them with self-owned identity and restore their control over their data. Thank you, Jack Dorsey, for saving us all. Okay, decentralized web platform, DWP, enables developers to write decentralized web apps, DWAs, using decentralized identifiers, DIDs, and decentralized web nodes, DWNs. Returning ownership and control over identity and data to individuals. We're calling this Web 5. So you take Web 2, you put a comma, you take Web 3, boom. Web 5. I don't know what kind of math this is.
I don't buy it.
Decentralized identifiers, self-owned identifiers, basically like proof of humanity, proof of life, or proof of at least, you know, social security. Data formats, models, decentralized web nodes. I'm seeing a whole lot of buzzwords. This looks like, you know, any other white paper.
So Web 1 is the read-only web. Web 2 is the read and write web. So think social media is Web 2. Apps is Web 2, where you communicate with each other. Web 3 is read, write, and own. So all your Web 3 applications out there right now on Ethereum and alt layer ones. But what is Web 5? It seems like it's also read, write, and own just on Bitcoin. Doesn't really seem like any new innovations to, you know, give it about plus 2 on the web score.
Yeah, man. I think Web 5 is just a corny name. That's all. But you know, it's got Jack Dorsey. He's going to figure it out. That being said, like, this is a very technical, you know, white paper, I guess, if you want to call it that here, clearly focused at web developers and integrating Web 3 into Web 2. I think this is probably where the Web 5 comes from, as far as, you know, saying that we have to connect the dots here. There's a lot of dots that aren't connected, but if we want decentralized tech to scale to the internet, then we need to merge these two worlds. You know, I was calling it Web 2.5, but I guess Web 5 is similar. Hey, man, he's going to do whatever he wants anyways. Not much we can do about it.
I like your attitude.
All right. I'm getting extremely bored by this. Oh, nice memes, guys. We're building an app platform. Always have been.
Oh, man. The meme was better than the presentation. I'll give them that.
Dude, you're right. That's sad.
So Logan, this morning I was looking at NFTs, got a little bit sad when I saw the price of mutants around $17,000-$18,000, but it seems like there are a lot of other buys in the market right now, some fire sales, some really good deals on NFTs. Obviously in a risk off environment, that's going to be the case. There could still be room to the downside, but I think we should check out maybe some of the best buys right now in NFTs. What we think might be too cheap, NFTs we think that will survive the bear market, maybe just spend like 5 minutes on it.
First, though, when Web 4.2069?
Well, we went from Web 3 to Web 5, so exponential growth. Maybe Web 69 next, then Web 4.20, then Web 4.2069. So like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whenever we're out of the bear market, probably.
That's the Fibonacci equation, right? Or was that general relativity?
That was the equation you showed me earlier on this episode.
Oh, yeah, Dirac's
with
theorem.
With a 32 on it.
Got you. Okay. So, NFTs, I got OpenSea coming right up. Can you OpenSea it?
Oh, the Heart Project, one of your favorites, is taking a beating right now along with the rest of the NFT markets. But we don't want to look at that. We want to look at some blue chip NFTs that we think will be surviving the bear market, something you can hold up until prices go crazy again. So I think we have a few choices here. I think anything made by Yuga Labs is a no-brainer. Obviously, there could be more downside. We saw that mutants were at 3.5 ETH just 5-6 months ago. We could very well go back to that. I don't think we will, but there's always that probability in play. But there are some really great buys, in my opinion, right now. Cool Cats around 3 ETH. And you guys got to remember, too, ETH is at $1,200. It's not at 3,000 like before. 3 ETH is no longer $9,000. You can get a Mebit for 2.8 ETH. That comes in right around $3,500. This is now a Yuga Labs collection. This is one of the first PFP NFTs. It's related to CryptoPunks. I mean, this is something I think will be surviving the bear market. It's going to be that Louis Vuitton brand in the future, given that Larva Labs made this and now Yuga Labs owns it. Two of the biggest players in the space. One of the other ones I was really looking at was CloneX. CloneX was bought by Nike. I don't think Nike is going to be flushing this down the toilet in an NFT bear market. I think they will be building, and they can easily put more resources towards building out this collection. We see a lot of these NFT collections do a mint, make $5 million, but now ETH is down 80%. They only have $1 million left, and they have $1 million tax liability. All of a sudden, their money is gone. That's not the case with Nike because they have a huge treasury outside of just NFTs and crypto. So this is going to be one I will keep my eye on through the bear market, hopefully pick one up at some point. Right now, around $10,000. I think at the peak we were, geez, I don't even know, probably $50,000, $60,000, maybe even $70,000. Maybe even higher. I think they were around 30 ETH peak.
Couldn't tell you.
Logan, what NFTs do you have your eye on? Any in particular right now?
Nope. Haven't been on this website in a few months, and now I remember why. I'm now depressed and want to go home.
These are great buys, Logan. What do you mean? This is where generational wealth will come into play with the JPEGs. We got these at $10,000 right now. I won't be buying right now. I think I said that, but I do have my eyes on these. This is one of my goals to pick up either a Clone X, maybe a Cool Cat if I don't want to go balls to the wall with NFTs in a bear market. I think the obvious play right now is to be accumulating ETH, maybe weekly buys, maybe monthly buys, whatever you can afford. Personally, that's what I'll be doing, stacking up ETH. Once I have ETH to spend on NFTs, then I will face that problem when I get there.
Hadid, thank you for cheering me up. I will for you today. You know, generational buying opportunities, Ryan. Been saying that for months, and my wife's boyfriend still has more money than me, so I don't know what to do anymore. Okay, no more depressing attitudes. Got to get hype. Another beautiful Monday. Bitcoin is super, super good deal right now, hey. So that's something to be excited about.
Hey, Logan, happy Mutant Monday, Logan. Okay, next. Let's talk about the Celsius digital asset freeze, because that's absolutely insane. One of the biggest lending platforms, and this is a centralized lending platform, halted withdrawals of all of their assets, halted swapping. I am sorry if you have a Celsius account, because you do not have access to your funds anymore. Lots is happening here, about $20 billion under management, and a lot of this is illiquid. So I found a chart about how much ETH holdings Celsius has and what is liquid and what is not. I think this adds a little bit of clarity to the situation, and unfortunately, I am sad to report a lot of Ethereum that Celsius holds right now is illiquid. So about $500 million out of the $1.7 billion of Ethereum that Celsius holds is completely illiquid, staked on ETH. Okay, so they cannot get any of this Ethereum back until the merge takes place. This could be in a few months, this could be in a year, but hopefully in a few months. That's where a lot of their ETH is right now. They also have some ETH liquid, about 40%, 35% liquid, and then the rest falls somewhere in between those two, in DeFi pools, that sort of thing. So Logan, I have a question to you. If you were a Celsius user and you posted some collateral to get a loan, say around $2,000 for an Ethereum, now ETH has crashed and you get margin called on Celsius, you have two options. One, deposit more Ethereum into Celsius. You don't know if you're ever going to get it back. Or two, you can just get margin called and lose your money. What are you doing?
So I can get margin called or do what?
Or post more collateral. Put more Ethereum into your Celsius account so you don't get margin called. What would you be doing here? I mean, that's a really tough situation for investors.
Yeah, I guess it would depend on risk reward and how much I already had in there. But it's worth it to maybe buy it down a little bit. We see Celsius's liquidation is now at 18.3K for Bitcoin. So if you know I believed that, which I can't verify that I just said on Twitter, then I would probably feel okay for now. But it obviously is a very, very personal decision. And this is not financial advice. This is just my opinion. Okay, here's a meme that just got me. I don't know if you know Stan by Eminem, but I'll do the impression. Dear Celsius, I wrote you, but you still ain't responding. I tried to draw my BTC, my ETH, and my USD at the bottom. But anyways, fuck it. What's been up, man? How's your reserves? How's your daughter? God, this dates me. Wow. Only boomers, Web3 boomers, no Eminem.
And Detroiters.
What do you think about Will's take here? Will Clement, young OG. Luna and Celsius, two sacrifices to the crypto gods for this bear market.
I see it. I mean, they're both huge, right? And they both dealt with lending, and now they're both going under.
Yep.
Do you think that Celsius is going to be able to recover? Say maybe, do you think Celsius will recover if we do see that dip down to $18,000? And do you think that Celsius can recover at current prices if we saw the bottom maybe today?
Darn, that's a tough one. If they get liquidated, then no chance. As of right now, I think it's still sus, but I really have no clue. A lot of it's going on behind the scenes. We were supposed to interview the CEO of Celsius on today's show. And now it's not looking so good for them.
I don't know what happened.
We just talked about it, bro. Due to inflation, Celsius is rebranding to Fahrenheit.
That's a good one.
Gotta text that one to Hot Stock Sloop Jacoby. All right. What were you about to say?
I don't know. Something I found interesting about Celsius Logan that I read in their blog post, they said, furthermore, customers will continue to accrue rewards during the pause in line with our commitment to our consumers. Interesting play. Maybe that's part of their terms and conditions and they have to. But I found that really interesting that they're still offering these rewards to holders when they can't even pay back their investors, right?
Yeah, that seems like a not good idea, maybe. Here's another interesting thing that I just saw. Celsius reportedly transferred $320 million worth of crypto to FTX before announcing they would halt all trading and withdrawals on the platform.
What is going on?
They went short.
What is going on?
No. So maybe this was so they could buy down their liquidation price a little bit, or if they lost the assets, whatever assets they froze, they didn't want to freeze these too. Obviously, they still need access.
I wish we had more clarity. Like, I mean, they transfer $320 million in cryptocurrency to FTX. I wish I had an explanation of that, especially if I was a Celsius user. I mean, what are you doing with all of these funds, right? And maybe they have. I'm not a Celsius user, so I'm not keeping up to speed on every single announcement, but I haven't seen anything. And, you know, being in financial media, I think I would have.
All right, here is the answer that you might be looking for. Boom. All right. FTX exchange right here. This is where it ends up.
Can we make it bigger? Look at this a little bit farther. I mean, it's all just addresses or no?
It's all just addresses okay. For the most part.
So this is
part,
the total.
This right here says FTX exchange
this,
too.
This does not answer my question, unfortunately. It's a cool chromy squiggle, I guess, but it does not answer my question.
Which is?
Which is what the hell are they doing with this money and why did they transfer it to FTX?
Celsius been sent to FTX after seeing. I could think of two possibilities, me being this guy on Twitter. Borrowing from FTX against this collateral to move their leverage off chain and selling assets. So either they're trying to cover their debts or allow themselves or buy more debts, right? I don't really see any other option here. How much time do you have left? 2 minutes left on today's show. I want to toss it out there to the chat, to the audience. Had a great viewership today. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you guys are still interested in crypto, let us know. Drop a one in the chat. If you're never going to care about crypto again, drop a six in the chat. And if you are alive, hit the like button. Ryan, somebody out there in the chat, JB, said, you're a Karen. What do you have to say about that?
For what reason? Because I want to know where Celsius is sending $320 million. Yeah, Karen would probably be mad too, but so am I.
Celsius, I need to speak to your manager.
Celsius, where is your manager?
Guys, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, please. LOGAN. Well, then one more because somebody took my name. Ross. Got it. Boom. Hit me up. Follow me. Adam, shout out to you. Oh, this is the guy we just interviewed.
Hey, let's shout out to Adam. Let's show off his Clonex real fast. We did mention it in the interview. There is
Big Murakami drip. Fan.
Got the drip. It's a pretty cool one.
Big drip. All right, JB, I cannot end the show until you say why Ryan is a Karen. We all want to know.
I'll wait.
This is too good, man. This is too good. Ryan's going to wait. And I'm just going to watch. JB, this is on you, man.
I have all the time in the world. I will wait right here. What's his name?
JB.
JB, I'm waiting.
JB. Why is Ryan a Karen?
All right, Logan, let's cut it. Let's wrap up for the day. It was a great show. We had a cool interview. Markets are down, but we're still here, and I hope you guys all stay along with us. Follow us through the bear market because this is where the real money is made. So stick around, and you will not regret it. We have another episode coming up on Friday, so stay tuned.
As Ryan said, make sure you stay tuned. Bear market, we are going to be coming at you Monday, Friday, 2 to 3. We're going to be changing to 1 to 2 o'clock. So I'm going to start mentioning this now. Moon or Bust will be running from 1 to 2 o'clock starting in like a month. But until then, we are 2 to 3. So we will see you on Friday. Once again, shout out to our homies at FTX. If you are in the U.S., use FTX.us for a fiat to crypto on-off ramp. JB, you totally missed your chance to roast Ryan today, but you're going to have to come back again next time. Same with everybody else out there. If you learned something, please, please, please. Take 2 seconds, share it with somebody who you think will find it interesting, and hit the like button, please. Thank you. Peace out.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.